Welcome to the Change Management Podcast Series 2. My name is Dr. Louise Bright, and I'm joined by Kevin Christie, Director of Christie Wells Associates and an expert in organisational and people development. Kev, thanks so much for being with us today.
Pleasure.
In his book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Patrick Lencioni reveals that trust is the most important foundation to build cohesive and highly functioning teams. In this episode, we're going to be exploring why the foundation of trust is so relevant and even more relevant in today's world of remote working and constant change. Kev, I was wondering what you think about Lencioni's model. Is it relevant today and why?
Yes, absolutely so. It's arguably more relevant than it's ever been. Lencioni's model is based on dysfunctions of a team. And the five areas that he works on is the absence of trust, the fear of conflict, the lack of commitment, the avoidance of accountability, and the inattention to results. And I think I'd like to choose one part of that, which is what this discussion is around, the dysfunction of absence of trust, and just to explore that. So we've all experienced change on an unprecedented scale over the last 6 or 7 months. And more than ever before, I think we need trust at all three levels. We need it, first of all, amongst each other in teams. Team members need to trust their managers, and finally, managers need to trust their people. And I think the stakes for getting that wrong have increased hugely. We've got a lot of people working from home remotely, so there's health and well-being issues. There's massive challenges, I think, of communication. And getting trust wrong really hampers all those things, really. And we have to consider how well have organizations responded to that challenge, how much work is going into ensuring that trust is not just maintained, but is also built on. And how are we balancing a very delicate balance, really, of checking in on people and not micromanaging and making people feel untrusted in that way. And so the opportunities to do that are huge, really. And in many ways, it's far easier now to fall into those dysfunctions under the current working conditions.
Interested in learning about driving organizational change? Search for the USW Changemaker program.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's almost been phases of the pandemic, isn't there? Like the initial phase where we were all, I think, running on adrenaline and crisis mode. And then there was how we adapted, I guess, you know, how this became a new normal. And it almost feels to me now like we're going into another phase of bleakness and inevitability and dark winter, and everything seems a bit more challenging than it did in the summer. What challenges, you know, new challenges do you think teams will face as we go into this extended period of lockdown and uncertainty?
I think I agree with you, Louise, on that. And I think some of them are quite clear and almost obvious. So the challenges of remote working are, whilst they might have been kind of fun and exciting to start, even though they might have been a little bit daunting, but already now we got things like we're not actually seeing each other is a problem. I think a potential problem as well is losing our social connections. And if we add on top of that, some people are having to do homeschooling. There's little bits of work, I think, when we work together that we didn't appreciate, things like water cooler moments when we bump into somebody and ask their view on something. And even, dare I say, you know, a lot of friendships happen in work, and they're kind of much more difficult to make the most of now. Apart from all those kind of social human things, there's bits about supporting each other. We're all kind of differently gifted, I guess, and we rely on people to use each other's talents to support and help each other. So that's a fairly obvious one, and I think that's just growing. This whole discussion is about trust, but the ILM has got a really good research article on the impact of trust, and it concludes with having seven dimensions of trust. If I just pick two of those, really, one is being accessible to people, and that's a real obvious challenge at the moment, is how we managers make ourselves available for staff in a consistent way. And another one of the dimensions is consistency. So how we are behaving in a reliable and a predictable manner. I think some of the lesser obvious ones that that we're facing are people's security and state of mind. How are people coping? What impact is that on people's health? What I've noticed is the colleagues I'm working with, some are actually looking so much better because sometimes it's less stressful under the current conditions, and others are looking a lot worse, really. Mm. Another huge one, I think, is how we're dealing with technology. It now feels to me that it's almost as important as the old three R's, the reading, writing, and arithmetic. I think if you can't get on technology now, we're at a real disadvantage. And I think the final one for me then is financial stability, really, is that organizations have either got less capacity or they've got less ability to sell capacity, really. And we've got to look at our finances in a very different way, both as businesses and individuals, really. So, and none of that's getting any easier. That appears at the moment to be getting worse, really.
I think trust is really important. And for teams that are kind of cohesive already and have got that trust in each other, but also trust in their kind of their managers, maintaining that trust is tricky in the remote working world, but is kind of doable, I think, probably if managers give themselves time and permission to spend time with their teams, probably more time than they would have ordinarily or organically when we were working together in real life in offices. But I wonder what advice you've got for leaders of new teams, you know, who haven't got that experience of trust in each other. How do you build new trust with new people when, as you say, the world is so uncertain that trust is so important?
Yeah, I think it's actually a little bit easier when we've got new teams, because you're starting with a clean piece of paper, really, and you're not trying to fix anything that's either broken or any bad behaviours that have crept in. I genuinely believe that with new and fresh teams, it's actually a bit easier. I guess, I don't know, if thinking back to a time when I started in a new organization with a new team, and it was just so exciting, really, getting to know people. And I think the amount of time that we spend actually being present with people, getting to know them, is where trust starts, really. And in terms of managers and leaders, I think the important thing is that the leader sets the tone, and the leader goes first. And and therefore, whatever it is that we're thinking about in terms of what type of team we want to build, is to take the lead in that and set the tone for the way that we want the future to look like. And I think that's a bit easier with new teams.
Well, you've convinced me that trust is important in terms of leadership and management. But what are the benefits, I guess, for our listeners? You know, how do you persuade them that the benefits of achieving a high level of trust is really, you know, something that's positive and that we should strive towards?
The benefits for me hang around this word safety. And I mean safety in a holistic sense, both physically, emotionally, and in the way we think and behave. So, for example, if I trust you, Louise, I know that you're going to protect me and you're going to keep me safe. If I don't trust you, I'm going to spend all my energy keeping myself safe. If I trust my manager and my leaders, I'm going to relax and get on with my job and give my best to it. I'm not going to be afraid to make a mistake because I know that you're going to support me and you're not going to ridicule me. If we feel safe, our natural reaction then is to trust people, is to engage with people and cooperate. And I think the opposite is true. If we don't trust people, we act in a defensive way, we become tactical, we're disengaged with what's going on, and we behave with self-interest. So that bit about creating safety and trust is a bedrock of that, is, I think, is crucial. The next area, I think it's much easier to commit to a common purpose if we trust each other. Dare I use the existing pandemic and the government, you know, and not making an opinion on this other than to say that if we trust the leaders in the government, then we're much more likely to follow their advice and guidance. If we don't, then the commitment to that advice and guidance is going to waver, and we can make our own minds up of how we feel about that and how successful it is. And the comparisons in the press and media with other countries I find fascinating in that area. And probably the last example will link into Lencioni's lack of accountability as his dysfunction. I think if we don't trust people, we're just not going to be comfortably able to say, I did that, I own it, I'm accountable for it, and we don't hold each other accountable either. And when we do trust people, we are happy to say, I did that, that's mine, because we know that if something goes wrong, we're going to be supported through it all. So those are just two or three areas, really. It's a massive subject, of course.
And it sounds to me like what you're describing is culture. It's a culture of trust and safety.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to shift, isn't it? So I'm wondering, what do you think about, you know, you've got an existing team, where can managers make mistakes and lose the trust of their colleagues?
I don't like talking about mistakes, Louisa. Mistakes are unconscious things. And I think as long as we learn from them, they're not a problem, really. What I do like to think about is the choices we make and how in terms of how we spend our time. Let's have a look at three areas. How much time do we genuinely spend critical thinking and reflection? I'd like to share a personal example of many years ago. I was doing a job as a project manager in a large national company, and big project, and something had gone very wrong, and my manager at the time called me in to discuss it, and I obviously a little nervous really, and what was going to happen here, and all my manager said to me was, Kevin, can you tell me how much time do you spend thinking about how to do things better? I said, well, not sure really, you know. Kind of panicked a bit and said, well, maybe a couple of hours a week. And he said, well, if you are not spending at least 40% of your time thinking about how you're going to do things better, you're not doing the job I'm paying you for. And I found that fascinating, really. And then they cut a very long story short. But this was back in the days when we were starting to share diaries on Outlook and things. My manager insisted that I spent like half days out in the week in my diary to go away and do thinking. And the amount of creativity I got from that experience was remarkable, really. So how much time do we genuinely allow our people, encourage our people to think in a critical manner, not think about reacting to situations? So I think that's one area that could be interesting. So, for example, when do we genuinely think about how we build trust in our teams and find innovative ways of doing it? Do we know where our creative space is, for example? One of the fascinating parts of Lencioni's model in trust, he talks about vulnerability-based trust as opposed to a traditional way of thinking we trust people because we can predict their behavior. So, and what I mean by that is, I know I can trust you, Louise, because you do what you say. I know what your performance is like. I know if I share something with you, you're not going to share it with anybody else. But not thinking about that way, thinking about creating an environment where people are happy to be vulnerable with each other. And what we mean by that is they share their weaknesses, they own their mistakes, they ask for help. They are very open with the treasured knowledge they've got that they've accumulated over many years. And to do things like that, it makes us vulnerable. And these are difficult things, you know. They're not easy things to do, and we can only do it by getting into a creative and critical thinking space where we can think these things through. So that's one area, I think, where we could choose to spend time differently. Another one for me then is developing our emotional intelligence and softer skills. I think it's a huge underdeveloped area of in management and leadership. And I'm talking about interpersonal skills like how well we listen, how deep we listen, how much thought we put into asking questions, how frequently and open we communicate feedback to one another, and how we use that feedback. And how we try and develop really subtle skills like empathy and intuition. And I think those are areas to invest in ourselves and leaders and managers to do that is really important. And just to others, if I may, spending time being present with people in management, there is absolutely no shortcut from spending time getting to know your people, treating them as human beings and valuing their views, you know, genuinely listen to what we have to say. And it's only then really can we start thinking about building trust, I think. And I think the final one then, I've touched on it earlier in this discussion, is how we create safe environments for people to perform, people to enjoy, and people look forward to spending time with each other. in the comfort, if you like, that they know that they can be themselves and not waste time kind of being overly competitive and protecting their reputations and things.
There's so many things in there that I want to pick up on. I think it's really interesting that you've talked a couple of times about time and energy. I think we often judge ourselves and possibly others judge us on, you know, outputs, on how many emails, on how many reports, you know, what did we manage to push through a committee, you know, what did we write, how many meetings did we have? And actually, I think a lot of what you were saying there is about time. You know, you talked about time to reflect, which, blimey, how many people schedule that in? But I can see the benefit of being able to do that. And I think the other key for me there is, you know, this notion that time spent with people is time really, really well invested. And again, I think, you know, I'm very guilty of getting up in the morning, especially in lockdown, sitting at my computer at 5 o'clock thinking, oh my God, I didn't tick anything off my list. But actually, probably what I've done is had really valuable conversations with people across my organization and within my team that were valuable, but maybe I'm not giving myself, you know, permission or credit for having those, you know, that is a valuable way of spending time, really. So I think there's a lot to think about there. And I also think another area that is really interesting to me is, again, in lockdown, we hear a lot about female leaders, particularly the political female leaders, and these female leaders seem to be handling the pandemic in a better way than their male counterparts. And you've just talked about what I traditionally think of as tending to be more female traits like empathy and emotional intelligence. So it's interesting that they come up in this conversation about trust.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There's a couple of psychologists out there who've done some great work on emotional intelligence, and there is some research on the differences between in the gender balance of that. What is very interesting is at the very senior level of high performing managers, there is no difference between women and men in that particular domain. Generally, I think that you're right that women do perform on things like empathy and intuition in probably stronger than men. And men, I think, very generally, are probably spending more time on the harder kind of skills and the more easily measured areas. But I think you make a great point. It's fascinating. And where I was coming to on those things like softer skills and emotional intelligence, I think those are the areas where you get sustainable success. I think chasing the numbers, which is what we often reward people for, is where you get fairly short-term success, short to medium-term success. I think the building relationships part is where you get sustainability and is much more impactful in this area of trust.
Final question, Kev, although I could talk to you all day. What advice would you give to managers? I'm thinking particularly managers or leaders who are finding this, you know, remote working a challenge. What advice would you give them to gain the trust or to keep the trust of their teams?
The first thing I think we've got to accept is this isn't going to happen overnight. These are quite difficult things to do, and we've got to think through how we're going to do it properly. So this is an area where we really do need to find our creative space and go and do some critical thinking around that. That's different for us all. The way I do that best is that I like learning some knowledge and reading theory and then going away and having no distractions and thinking about what have I learned, what new knowledge have I got that I can make useful to my work environment. And if I'm thinking about trust, I'm fascinated by this vulnerability-based trust, and I'd go away and think about, right, how can I start making that happen? What practical things can I do? And it'll be things like making sure I talk to everybody. But talk with them in the sense that I ask them questions that are going to stimulate their intellect and genuinely be present to listen to the views that they've got. And then I wouldn't put any pressure on myself to have an absolute plan that I've built. I would build the plan through my people. And what they will then see is that the contribution that they've made by giving giving you answers to your questions is then they can see happening in your actions, really. So if we take a simple, a daft example, if you like monthly team meetings. So often I see managers putting pressure on themselves to put an agenda out, make sure all the KPIs are in there. What's wrong with talking to people and saying, what do you think about team meetings? How can we make them better? And just taking their ideas and maybe asking them, would you like to facilitate one of the meetings one day? Do you want to put the agenda together? And let's go through that. So giving people things where you genuinely value their input to it and how they can shape what the future looks like, really. So I think I would be certainly around there. Another realization for me is when you're a manager, you assume responsibility as a leader, really, because you've got people looking up to you. And there's no doubt the manager and the leader sets the tone for the environment. So what you've got to do is got to mirror exactly the way you want it to be. So you've got to be an exemplar of whatever the vision for the future you have. And so you'd go first, and you'd be the first to take the risk, really. And let's give an example about what I said about vulnerability-based trust. The manager or the leader's got to show theirs first. So it's about being brave enough, really, to ask your team for help. If there's an area where you know one of your team members is better than you, is to use them for that and talk to them about taking the lead in those areas. Part of being a really good manager is using your people really well. I would say that in my career, I've observed some managers who produce absolutely astounding results, and they look pretty ordinary people themselves. But what they're subtly doing is using their people, motivating their people, inspiring them, and just giving them the stage to perform. And the irony of it is the manager looks to be outstanding in it all.
I think we'll end on that note. And the first thing I'm going to do is schedule some reflective time into my diary. I think that's a brilliant idea. Thanks for all of your expertise and for sharing with us, Kev. It's been great.
Well, thank you, Louise. I thoroughly enjoyed that discussion.
Thank you. If you want to hear more about the podcast series, then please subscribe. To find out more about our business services at the University of South Wales, please visit southwales.ac.uk/business.